Oh, you came and spoke to us on this, but let me just recollect here, if I might. Originally, is this the one that in the matrix moved subsequent activities up to the list that put you in with the good guys? Is this the one? Because there were two of them that were very much the same.
Well, there were three. There was the original, which said that every crime had to be, the criminal history had to be considered. Then the one that we're looking at right now is in the middle. And then the one that we had originally proposed in Senate Bill 23 was the one that said, that was a softer version, basically, and that was unacceptable.
And this gets all that stuff out of there that did have the problems?
I think so. Yes, it does.
Madam Chair?
Senator Grinsky?
I understand that I basically think I know what these amendments are supposed to do. What I'm wondering is, why don't we just repeal the sunset on House Bill 33? What was it?
Well, that, excuse me. Senator Grinsky, I think that is just basically the proposal we're making here, that we're repealing the sunset on the existing statute, which was House Bill 3384.
It's now Chapter 634 of Oregon Laws 87.
Why can't we just say that, then, instead of saying we will use the method set forth in this? Why don't we just say the sunset provision in Section 4, Chapter 634, Oregon Laws 987, it's hereby repealed. Why didn't we just do it that way? Any particular reason?
I can't, Senator Grinsky, I can't respond to that. I'll ask Cindy Burgess, who helped draft the original bill, if she can respond to that better than I.
Well, it's a, I guess I can, she may know better than I, but we don't enter these into the gray book if they're statutory, if they have a sunset, they go into the statute laws, the session laws. And they don't get entered, so there's really, you have to go back and amend the session law and bring it into the full statute in order to do that. If you repeal the sunset, it would have to be moved in, and Jack would know better than I, but there is some technical reason for why you have to amend the session law. Maybe we can actually get the repealer language that you want in a different...
Well,
I'm not suggesting we can't do it, I just want to...
It may be in here. Apparently,
line 23.
Apparently,
you?
Line 23,
yes.
May be the repeal, and I didn't realize that. So,
yeah.
If that's what that is, I guess that's all right.
That is what that is. Section 6, Chapter 634.
Yeah.
That's the repeal.
And you see, Senator Grinsky, on line 18, instead of referring to "of this act," it will now be transferred to the full statute, and so it has to be given a chapter number and a Section 4 of chapter whatever. Isn't that right, Jack?
That's correct.
And that's why you have the language in Section 1 there on line 17, which can't be just a simple Section 2.
Oh, okay. I got you. I understand.
Got it?
Yes, I do.
Got it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Nobody's going to move the amendment. Chair would move amendments -123-1. Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Fine. The chair will move Senate Bill 123 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let's not play games with each other, folks. It'll all be nice. No throwing stones.
Okay.
Call the roll, please, Kiska.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Maybe we'll give one of the people who are absent to carry.
Brannon would have been a no.
Let's see. Didn't Springer? No, you carried.
No.
Springer?
Springer's got
to
carry.
I think
give him another
in
shot
order to redeem himself.
He was smart enough not to take it out there.
Right. Okay, well, I'll visit around with people and figure out a way to do that. Okay, Jack, Senate Bill 254, is that next, or 130? You want to do 130? Let's do 254, which is the other pro-board bill, and this is the one that we have trouble with Senator Shoemaker on.
Right.
So I was going to combine them both, and the chair of the pro-board didn't want me to do that, and I still think it was a good idea. It should have been the chair's prerogative to put them both together. Jack, Senate Bill 254.
Senate Bill 254, as the chair said, is at the request of the parole board. It deals with teleconferences primarily is the issue that we've been discussing. And it also changes some of the timeframes that certain hearings are required to be conducted within. There are no amendments, given that we've taken care of 123. Leave it at that.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 254 to the floor with the new pass recommendation.
Senator Grinsky moves, and there are no amendments?
No.
Unless we decide to put them back together, right?
That's correct.
To the floor with the new pass recommendation. Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 No.
Aye. Motion carried. Okay. I've got to move some of these bills to people who aren't here anyway. Jack, 130.
Senate Bill 130 is at the request of the Traffic Safety Commission for the Governor's DUII Advisory Committee. There are some folks present here from that. There are some amendments that I'll pass out to you. There are the amendments address a concern that was raised at the public hearing we had, which was that there was no definition of field sobriety test included in the statute. That definition has been supplied by a former member of the governor's committee. It has been through LC. I believe there are going to be two suggested changes, the first of which is to the amendment itself, and that is down on line 5. Instead of law enforcement officer, I believe that the requesters of the bill have agreed that that's going to be police officer. All right. The term law enforcement officer, after some looking at the statutes, was found to, much to a lot of folks' surprise, things such as the National Guard and some other things. Pardon me?
Port. They really are police, though.
OLCC.
Found that out.
Yeah. Some of it's hard. The other change is in the bill, and that's on line 14. And
let's find the bill in our pile here. Some of us have such a pile of things. Okay.
At the end of line 14, I believe there's going to be a proposal to add the words or civil, so that it would read evidence of the person's refusal or failure to submit is admissible in any criminal or civil action. That's a matter we did not discuss at the public hearing. We may want to hear the party's reasons for suggesting
okay,
that.
Okay, who's going to come up and explain the request for that part of it? Jane, why don't you just go through our amendments and deal with the definition there and make sure that everybody's clear on what we're agreeing to with respect to what the definition is.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, Jane Aiken, current member of the Governor's Advisory Committee on DUII. The issue was first raised over on the House side with House Bill 3103. Where a committee member there was concerned about why we didn't have a definition for field sobriety test. As I testified before this committee on Senate Bill 130.
Can you speak up a little bit? I'm sorry.
As I testified last time on Senate Bill 130, we've considered that issue with the Governor's Advisory Committee and determined that it would be appropriate to include a definition of field sobriety test. For a couple of reasons, it provides guidance to law enforcement officers and agencies as they develop the test. And also it meets concerns raised on the House side. So I think it makes it a more acceptable bill. The definition that we've provided with the proposed change by your counsel is acceptable. We believe it gives sufficient guidelines to law enforcement agencies and meets that test. There are several other options if the committee wanted to consider using, instead of police officer, law enforcement officer, or peace officer, which is another definition in the statutes, to be considered. However, to be consistent with both our bill, the body of the bill, and the traffic code itself, we believe police officer is more appropriate. It's a little bit more narrow than either law enforcement officer or peace officer, but we think it's an appropriate definition.
Thank you.
Mr. Cooper is here if you wish to speak to the issue or civil.
Yes, I think we do need discussion of that matter.
Madam Chairman, Jerry Cooper, member of the Governor's Advisory Committee on DUII and staff attorney for the Board on Police Standards and Training. The reason that we're proposing to add or civil after criminal line 14 would be to make it compatible with the comment on the refusal to take the breath test. And we found that that issue can come up in civil litigation as well as in the department or motor vehicles division administrative hearings when people do refuse to do the breath test, or in this case, the field sobriety test. It could come up in one of those hearings for suspension of the driver's license to show probable cause on the part of the officer.
Madam Chair?
Senator Sherman.
I have two questions independent of each other. Civil action, you intend that to include then a private civil action in which there's
yes.
a lawsuit that has, may have been no criminal action, but if there was a field sobriety test and it was refused, if there then should be a lawsuit in some way that in which that was relevant, that could come into that lawsuit. That is what you intend.
That would be the scope of this amendment,
okay.
Yes.
On a different point, looking at the definition, it says field sobriety test means a physical or mental test that enables a police officer or trier of fact to screen for or detect impairment. So it enables an officer to detect impairment. As I recall, this is evidence of probable impairment. It isn't, and then it's up to other evidence and argument and everything else to determine whether there is, in fact, impairment.
Madam Chairman, Senator Shoemaker, the jury is ultimately, or the trier of fact,
right.
ultimately decides whether or not the person was, in fact, noticeably impaired.
I'm just wondering if this definition would be better and more usable and less subject to criticism if it said enables a police officer or trier of fact to screen for or detect probable impairment.
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, I believe the definition that we're looking for here is to make sure the tests have the purpose of enabling the officer to make a decision, is the person impaired or not, should I arrest that individual. The trier fact will use those same tests weighed with all other evidence that's presented at trial to determine whether, in fact, the person is under the influence of intoxication. So the tests in and of themselves may not be conclusive for the trier fact. They'll be looking at the breath test, other results, and other information.
But the test does enable a person, an officer, to detect impairment.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine.
Chair.
Senator Grinsky. And then Jack has a
real brief question. Just for my own recollection, is it inadmissible at the present time to admit into a civil proceeding a failure to perform a field sobriety test?
Senator Grinsky. We don't know. The problem is it's a violation of the Oregon Constitution under the present scheme.
Criminal proceedings.
Right. But we still have to deal with the administrative proceedings when people are arrested and refuse or fail a breath test.
Do you feel that adding the word civil is going to make it admissible in an administrative proceeding?
So, Senator Gransky, so far it has under the refusal submit to the breath test. It's being admitted on a regular basis.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Other further questions? Jack?
Just a follow-up to Senator Shoemaker's comment. In my opinion, it would be more accurate to insert the word probable, although I don't think it's essential, simply because what a police officer on the field is looking for is a sufficient level of probable cause. So I think the point you make is a good one. I think the definition can stand without it, but it is a good point.
Okay. Would you be comfortable with that?
Senator Shoemaker, I believe so. It's my experience as a former chief deputy district attorney in Washington County that what the officer is looking for is actual perception of impairment. Now, the jury or the judge, if there's a waived jury, decides was it because of consumption of alcohol or controlled substances, or was there some other reason for that impairment? So the officer is really looking for impairment that he can then try to equate with the controlled substance or alcohol consumption. But obviously, at that time, it's probabilities that he is relying upon as to the causation of the impairment. So the impairment would probably be caused by alcohol or controlled substances. But the officer testifies he actually observed difficulty
some impairment.
Yes, difficulty in doing the test correctly.
But not necessarily from intoxicating liquor or controlled substance. That, of course, is the issue that comes up with the trial. And I guess what I'm wondering about, if you don't have qualifier probable in there, this definition might be subject to challenge in a case. And I'm not enough of a trial lawyer really to know whether my instinct on that is right, but I'd hate to have this whole thing thrown out because it was a test that required the officer to make an absolute detection of impairment.
Senator Shoemaker, if I may respond, if I'm reading it correctly, you're attempting to broaden what the officer is looking for.
Yes.
To say it's probable impairment
right.
from the alcohol. That would be acceptable change from our committee's perspective.
Thanks, Jack.
Committee, have any comments about probable or without with or without probable inserted there?
I think he's right. I don't think it's going to hurt.
Okay. So, Senator Shoemaker is recommending that we add the word probable in
afterward,
front of impairment
right.
and on line 6. Are there objections to that? So ordered. Okay, and we are satisfied with respect to the civil piece?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody satisfied? Okay, the chair would move. Senate Bill 1.
Police officer.
Oh, I've got it. Okay. That's why I'm going to do this. We would move amendments to Senate Bill 130-2, including the substitution on line 5 of the word police for law enforcement and the addition of the word probable on line 6 before impairment, which we've already adopted. And back on the additional, the original bill, line 14, after the word criminal, we're going to add the words or civil. Have I gathered up all the amendments? Hearing.
Can I ask just one?
Yes,
I'm
please.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
One quick question about, can you say law enforcement officer? I mean, are you?
Police.
I understand,
yeah.
But. Is a DA a law enforcement officer under the definition?
Senator Hill, I believe that under law enforcement, yes. Under peace officer, no.
All right. Well, what I'm saying is that do you ever, and if this is ridiculous, fine, do you ever have a situation where a district attorney would saw somebody intoxicated? Would you not want them to be able to pull them over?
Senator Hill is a former prosecutor. My answer would be probably not. We don't typically carry badges. We don't have marked patrol cars, overhead lights. We're acting as private citizens, I think. And if we're riding along with the police, then I think we're in our quasi-judicial role as a prosecutor.
Well, I guess you could always call the police to come and do something. But if someone's intoxicated and you see them and you want to do something,
I'm not sure the DA is qualified to give a field sobriety test, in fact, that would stand up in court.
And, Madam Chairman, I'm the person who was trying to have the same language as to our amendment as to the traffic code. It's police officer. They don't use law enforcement or peace officer anywhere else. And we didn't want to convey a message. This was a special rule for some other group.
Thank you. Are there objections to the chair's amendments to 130, Senate Bill 130? Hearing none, so ordered.
Move the bill as amended.
Senator.
To the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Shoemaker moves Senate Bill 130 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Are there discussion? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
And I'd be glad to carry
that. Okay. Shoemaker wants to do that one. Let's move to 562. Is that next, Jack? You ready? 562 is the juvenile detention bill, which we've had lounging around here in various stages of agreement and non-agreement, and Jack tells me that folks have gone out to come back together in some form of agreement. So we have Corey Streisinger here from the governor's office, and we have whoever else wants to come up. Appreciate your comments.
Yes,
also appreciate your hard work. Jack's coming with a minute.
Senate Bill 562 is the result.
Just get us the amendments. So
I'm handing you the amendments at this time. There are four sets.
Okay, Jack.
The amendments you'll have before you are marked dash 5, dash 4, dash 3, and dash 2.
We may be asking you to make a choice, right? But this is the Chinese menu approach. Each by one, and if we go around the table enough times, we may get them all in order.
Actually, the amendments are all, they are not alternatives.
Good.
Cumulative.
That's
consecutive correct. Sentences, as it were.
They do take some explaining, and I'll do my best to do that for you. All right, if I could direct your attention to the dash 2 amendments. These are the amendments with some modifications that we originally started with. You'll recall at our last work session, we did in fact adopt some amendments. We adopted at least one amendment in concept, and there was a hand in gross bill that we were dealing with originally. What I've done for the sake of clarity, and hopefully this is going to work, is I've put all the amendments that we dealt with and which it appeared to be the committee's intent to eventually adopt into dash 2. And if I can go down the line, I'll clarify for you which ones have actually been formally adopted and what is not. So on, again, looking at the dash 2 amendments on lines 1 through 4, that language has been formally passed, and that's the language having to do with the types of crimes that are to be covered in this bill. In line 3, there is, and this is hopefully the only error, Senator Shoemaker, as you may recall, moved to make the word persons into singular. so that S on the end of person should be stricken. And that's the form in which that was passed. Lines 5 through 7 have not been formally passed, but again, this is language that was in the original Hand and Gross bill that we were dealing with. And this is language that makes it clear that juvenile detention workers are bound by the same and have to follow the same guidelines as the court at the detention hearing. The language in lines 8 through 17 is the amendment adopted by the Governor's Council, Corey Streisinger. And that language is meant to deal with the least restrictive means issue. That was, in fact, passed. Lines 18 through 20.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
It would be my intention that when we finally move to adopt, we will adopt the package. Make sure we have it there. I think Jack's going over for informational purposes only.
Okay, that's correct. I just want to make sure that we, I make it clear to you what exactly we've done. Lines 18 through 20 has not been formally adopted. That is the language that deals with the runaway problem. And then finally, lines 21 through 24 has been formally passed, and that's the chair's suggestion for a reporting requirement for the frequency with which juveniles are held past the initial 28-day period. Now, at this point, I can move on to the other amendments if you'd like. Or
Yes,
I'm sure maybe if anybody has a problem with anything, they can just interject that and they could then deal with the problem. Otherwise,
fine. I'm just trying to find our original Hand and Gross bill, but I guess I can't find it, so I proceed on. Go ahead.
Five of the amendments titled.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's in the back.
The amendments titled 562-3 are an amendment that.
That's right, I got it.
Dash 3 is an amendment that was adopted in concept. And you'll remember this was the Multnomah County amendment that had to do with putting a cap on juvenile detention. Now, this has been reworked somewhat, and you may want to inquire of the folks here to explain the differences.
I think that would be useful if you go ahead. Whoever's prepared to talk about it.
For the record, I'm Howard Klink, Multnomah County. Basically, this is a streamlined version of the original language that you saw in the original draft. The essential features of it are that County Court or Board of Commissioners may, and I underline may, establish a capacity limit on the facility. If that capacity limit is reached, then the juvenile court shall authorize the release of a sufficient number of juveniles to reduce the population. The key features of the original language were kept. There was some language that was taken from 591, the adult jail emergency release bill that was not germane to the juvenile system, that was essentially taken out. So I'd just draw your attention to the key features of the bill. The county may establish a cap. The judge shall order the release. And the other features that were taken out were more germane to the adult system and were unnecessary as far as language in this bill was concerned.
Any other discussion, questions?
The Dash 4 amendment looks like a substantial amendment. It really is not. This is, I mentioned Corey Streisinger's amendments on the first page having to do with the least restrictive means language. This is really a modification of that. The only new language is at the end of line 3 and line 4, and it brings in the reference to ORS 163-160. And that intent of that is to bring in the Assault 4 statute. So juvenile is affected by crimes which if committed by an adult would constitute a felony. Or assault in the fourth degree. It was drafted this way for purposes of clarity. I'm not sure that worked as well as I had hoped, but this is simply a modification of the, one of the amendments that has already been passed, and that was Corey Streisinger's amendment to bring in the assault force statute.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
And as compared to the Dash Two amendments, I suppose we're proposing to substitute the Dash Four amendments to a portion of the Dash Two amendments appearing between line 8 and line 17. Am I correct? So when we move these amendments, we don't want to move both of those in, or we have...
I think it's consistent to move both, Senator. It's simply that this is, in fact, a modification of the language in the Dash 2 amendment.
Okay.
Okay.
If that's fine, I have a problem.
And then finally, the Dash 5 amendment is really, after all this, the heart of the bill in some respects, and this sets the limitations on how long a child can be held in custody. If you'll recall, we had some lengthy discussion about this. 28 days, if good cause exists, then an additional 28 days, and that's the limit unless the adjudication is continued with the express consent of the child.
I remember that, yes, the express consent. We ended up with the wording express consent of the child rather than variety thereof of protectors or lawyers or whatever.
Madam Chair, I think the Corey Streisinger, for the record, Governor Goldschmidt's legal counsel, I think the feeling of the committee and then later when we got together to draft it was that this ordinarily the child is presumed to be able to make decisions of this sort and that this paralleled other provisions in the juvenile code.
I do remember our discussion with it about who.